much time do we have for questions? 7 minutes. Gosh. Okay. So if you could introduce yourselves and you know, pose your questions, please let us know who you are addressing your question to.
Yes, sir.
I actually have a general question which has puzzled me, namely that inadvertently or otherwise, the panelists raised a question to which I don't know the answer, namely, how do you balance the question of health and rights when the two are not complementary? For example, you can produce more food, get people healthier, but you also have the problems of obesity for some people. You can have more, for example, right now the Bixi people in Montreal or somebody connected with them are envisaging a project where they're going to rent cars rather than bicycles. Now, more people will rent cars, so there'll probably be less transportation, public transportation. So what do you do when these two forces of affordable housing is fine for people of a certain income, but what does this do for social housing on a mass level when considering the world's, for example, great urbanization? So what do you do when you gain one way but you possibly lose the other? How do you balance these concerns?
Would you like to address that, Abhi?
You know, there is, if you ask a general question, and I will attempt to provide you a general answer. The problem in the world are divided to two kinds: structured and ill-structured problems. Many things, despite our best effort to solve them, many things will never be solved. What we attempt to do is hard to solve them, introduce solution all the time. In order to solve them, you need to create a completely different political system, economic systems, which are very, very difficult. Seems to me that we reach in the life of human beings and knowledge a phase where we know what societal ills are. What we are attempting to do now is to mobilize many people in bringing solution. In my case, is affordable housing. But once again, I know that it will always be an issue around the world to house poor people.
I've just been asked to announce that if any of you has a question for Professor Bannister, you'll need to come up here and pose your question. Thank you. Yes?
Working in food security area, I can tell you, we are producing more calories and more calories of food and more grams of protein than the humanity can consume on this planet. There is tremendous waste, and we will continue to produce more. Certainly there are shortages, and the challenge is of fair distribution, and even after that, having worked in socialist countries like China with food rations and others, at the end of the day, it is societally important to recognize that food insecurity is in many instances result of broken social chains. People are falling in cracks. People are not being seen. You walk by, but you don't recognize them. As I say, 1 in 6 person in Quebec is food insecure. It is for us to wake up to them. And it is not the state. It is not just the business. It is not just the corporation. It's all of us together who will have to try to rejig our societal compact. And the solutions are not going to be aspirin solutions that you take it for headache, you take it for fever, you take it for blood pressure, you take it for cancer. No, we will have to work community by community, group by group, neighborhood by neighborhood, and then we will address small problems and reconnect the broken chains in a better way.
You had a question there? Yes?
any projects or programs for telling people how to renovate their homes or anything like that? Just because I know that a lot of younger people don't know how to do any of that stuff, so have you started any programs?
Very interesting question. When we did our study, we returned back to these homes and we did a very intensive survey of how they fix their homes. You know who is today the greatest educator? The Home Depot. There we find out that most people got their basic skill about renovation by going to weekends workshops at the Home Depot. And I believe that I will strongly suggest that those who would like to know can register and know how to do tiles and how to build walls and so on. So this is fascinating. I did not know about it.
Any other questions, comments?
Yes, sir. Yes, please.
I have a question for Professor Bannister. You live in a small city, which has been around for hundreds of years and has to be redeveloped to accommodate cars, to accommodate bicycles, to accommodate people. What suggestions would you have to accommodate an older city, which you don't want to change the architecture and the street level, street plans, to accommodate changing travel patterns?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. In terms of where I live, I mean, in Oxford, it's not a problem. I mean, the sort of modal shares here are not as high as they are in India, but about 30% of people walk for trips and about another 20% go by bike. And then there is another 20% by bus and the 30% by car. So even among UK cities, this is much higher than most and comparable with many European cities where the modal share of trips for walk and cycling is over 50%. But I think within a historic city, in a sense, it's easier to do it because there aren't the problems of having to knock down part of the urban infrastructure to make more space for cars. That isn't a choice. So what has happened in a place like Oxford now is that there is extensive park and ride. Oxford has a population of about 100, 120,000 people. Extensive park and ride around the outside of the city. And most of the travel within the city is done by a bus, if it's by motorized transport, or by walk and cycle. In fact, there is the main problem in terms of pollution and the main problem in terms of conflict is between people, pedestrians, and public transport, and also cyclists and public transport. So some of the streets are full of buses, and this creates some safety issues and some problems of people crossing roads and that sort of thing, as we saw in Delhi and Madras, but by no means as of the same order of magnitude. So I don't see that it's really a problem. I think where the problems are higher are in the rural areas and out of the urban areas, in the hinterland areas, and also in some of the very big cities, and not just in the UK, but elsewhere. And this is where I see the big, big problems occurring. We can't handle the numbers of people that there are wanting to move around in the Delhi or the Madrases of this world. Oxford's problems are minor compared with those cities.
Thank you very much, Professor Bannister. I guess we... Can we take one more question? We're supposed to go to lunch, and maybe you can pose your question during lunch. Thank you all for your participation.
Thank you,
Thank you very much, Professor Bannister and Oxford.